We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Chachet Amud Bed, about three lines up. Vam Reish Lakish. Ovig Chuchavim, so there's another statement by Reish Lakish that we had before. We had another statement by Reish Lakish, now there's another statement by Reish Lakish. First one that started the last series of Agadato was that Reish Lakish said, HaMagbi Yadol Chaviro, Afapish Loiko, Nikra Rasha. Then we had a series of Memrot that talked about what a person who hits, or a person who's going to hit, the negative connotations and the names that are assigned to such an individual. Now, Reish Lakish comes and says another statement, but this is more relative or relevant to what we've been saying till now, which is about Ben Noach, which is Amar Reish Lakish, Ovi Kovim Shishavat, and Ovi Kovim Ho is Shovet Mimlacha, as Rashi puts it, Yom Shalem. For an entire day, he does not do work. Chayav Mita. Then he's Chayav Mita. Why? Shnemar. V'yom V'layla Lo Yishbotu. It says that day and night, lo yishpotu. Now, you could read that, and what probably the simple pshat in the pasuk is, now the pasuk is going through the different seasons. This is after, by Noach, that Hashem is promising Noach that the seasons will not stop again like they did during the Mabul, because you have chayitz v'chorev, kor v'chom, yom v'layla, what was it, oh, charis v'katsir, they lo yishpotu, they won't stop. But Rashi points out over here that the lo yishpotu is not modifying the seasons, but rather it's modifying the unnamed subject in the pasuk, and the unnamed subject is man. So it says that all of these seasons or all of these times lo yishbotu, that you should not be idle. It is a demand on the individual or the ben adam should lo yishbotu, that he should always be busy or he should do some work. So that's the source. Ve'amar mar as harash lehen zuhi mitatan. So even though there's no onish mentioned with it, even though all we have is this one restriction or warning that says, go ahead and work, or actually it's formulated in the negative sense, which is, do not be idle from work, which implies that you must work. So now, so since there's a warning or there's a restriction already in the Torah, they're put to death with it. So Amar Avina, and Avina makes a statement, Afilu Sheni Bishabat. Their resting on Shabbos is not a problem solely if they do it on Shabbos itself. Right? This is a simple way you would read the Gemara. But not only when they do it on Shabbos itself is it problematic, but on any day of the week, if you pick any day of the week and they don't work or they're idle for the entire day and they do no malacha, that also would be a problem of Chiyuv Misa. Now, the Rashi over here says the Havamina would have been this, which is an interesting Havamina. Rashi says that lo tema shvita the kamar leish lakish l'shon chova kamar to lo lichavein lishbot. So don't think that what Reish Lakish said was, you know, do not rest b'Shabbat shuyom shvita l'Israel on Shabbos, which is the day of rest for Jews. Oh, v'echad b'Shabbat l'shoftim bo, or on Sunday, which is their day of rest. Ela menucha ba'alma kasu lehu shalo yivat lumi lecha. So Rashi says the Havamina, I formulated what I think the simple Havamina of the Gemara would be, simply that Shabbos, you would have thought they can't keep Shabbos like we keep Shabbos, and therefore the only Chayav Mitav, they keep Shabbos on Shabbos. Any other day of the week, how do I know it's true? And that's what Ravina comes to say. Yes, every other day of the week is also a problem. But Rashi says that no, my Havamina would have been that they're only restricted from resting on formal days of rest. They can't. What are the formal days of rest? Shabbos and Sunday. Shabbos because that's our Shabbos. Sunday because that's their Shabbos. So how do I know? That's the Havamina. How do I know that it's not only they would be punished for resting on those days? How do I know they'll also be punished for resting on alternative days? And that's what comes along with Ravina to say, Afilu Sheni B'Shabbos. Rashi's Havamina is very interesting. Because Rashi includes where it said it's obvious that Sunday also would have been a problem to rest on. Which is that, why is that? Right? I mean, there's nothing inherently kadosh or holy about Shabbos, but Rashi sees any organized day of rest as being something that would have been restricted or assumed to be restricted, and only then do you need Ravina to come on and tell you, no, it's even days beyond that. Just interesting Rashi. Alright, next, Umar says, why the only Shevet Mitzvot B'nai Noach? Here's number 8. Why is it mentioned there? So it says, Kikha Choshiv Shevi Al Taseh. When it comes to mentioning the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, those are only restrictions, negative commandments, things that you must refrain from doing, right? Kum ve'aseh lo chashiv. The active components, things that you must do, those are not included in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. When it says, is that really true? V'hadinim?
What about dinim? Dinim is a kum v'asehu. Right? There's a kum v'aseh by dinim. But kachoshiv. And there we name dinim is one of the sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach. It's a kum v'aseh, which means not. There's no asking you to refrain. It's asking you to actively, right, create a judicial system and adjudicate cases and try people who are in violation of the laws. So that's dinim. Dinim is a kum v'aseh. Zumar says, kum v'aseh v'shev al taseh ninu. Dinim are both aspects. Dinim have two components to it. Dinim has an aspect of kum v'aseh, that you must actively do something, but also has a shev al taseh, do not do something. Now what that do not do something is unclear here. The Gemara doesn't define it. The Ramban, Ala Torah, and Parashat Vayishlach, uses this, or this formulation also to prove that he thinks the Rambam is wrong. The Rambam claims that dinim is simply setting up the judicial system to judge the other six mitzvot of Bnei Noach. And Ramban says, first of all, you don't have to be, you're not put to death, right? The Sheva mitzvah Bnei Noach you're put to death for. So he says here, it's clear from the Gemara that you're not, or we see in the Gemara in Yerushalmi, put to death for a kum v'aseh, you only put to death for a shev v'al taseh. Number two is that dinim are called kum v'aseh and shev v'al taseh. Shev v'al taseh implies that there's more than just, right, there's more than just putting a beis din together and adjudicating cases. There's some that you're not allowed to do. So the Ramban claims that, well, that's choshen mishpat. Right, the Ramban claims that dinim are not simply the judicial system, but also the laws, dinim of choshen mishpat, anything to do between ben adam lechaveiro, the civil laws, that is part of dinim. And then you do have shev v'al taseh in there. Rashi, on the other hand, here, it's interesting, Rashi has to come out, comes up with the shev v'al taseh. So Rashi claims that the shev v'al taseh here is al taseh ovel. Right? Do not pervert the judgment or the justice. Okay, there's an active requirement to do din. But aside from that, there's also a negative commandment, do not pervert justice. So Rashi Shevi Al-Taseh, it's interesting, Rashi Shevi Al-Taseh is still included within the judicial system and not like a civil code. So now Rashi says, but then you're going to say, the question that you really have to ask is, wait, Al-Taseh Avel means what? Do not pervert justice, but rather do what's right. Now what is Lo Yishbotu? Lo Yishbotu is do not rest, but rather work. So why are those the exact same thing? So Rashi has to squeeze, and this is obviously why the Ramban probably did not choose this derech to claim the Shev Al Taseh. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi claims they're different. He says, Vazharat, it's the, if you go down, it's the third widest line, second last word, on the third widest line on the top there of Rashi, he says, Vazharat, lo tasu avel, eina kum aseh. That's not a kum v'aseh mishpat. It doesn't tell you to go and do mishpat. Elo l'chuda kaima. It's a standalone restriction. You have one requirement to do mishpat, and the second requirement, do not pervert justice. And the do not pervert justice is not an indication to do justice, rather just do not pervert it. So shev v'avtel milo tase avel. Refrain from doing these bad things. Aval azharat lo tishbot al korcha eno ela kum v'aseh. When it comes to lo tishbot, it must be that that's a kum v'aseh. I don't know, I'm not sure why it has to be that way. You could argue, I think, assume that's what Rashi is saying, is that mishpat has an active formulation and a negative formulation. I mean, it has, you must do, tzedek tzedek tishpot et amitecha, and lo tasu avel. So you have two statements. So we already have the active statement of tzedek tzedek tirdof. So lo tasu avel, that's already a standalone requirement. As opposed to lo tishpot over here, we don't have no active formulation of that. Where is the positive? So it must be that the negative formulation is indicating to do something active. Assume that's what Rashi's doing, but it's a very fine line that he's trying to thread over here between two different statements that really are implying that you should do something positive instead of the negative.
The only way you can do lo tishbotu is by physically doing something. You can do lo tasu avel by just ignoring everything.
Right. So you're saying there's a way to be mekayim. The way to be mekayim lo tasu avel without actually doing mishpat by refraining from perverting justice. On the other hand, lo yishbotu, the only way to be mekayim lo yishbotu is to actively, right, do it. Very good.
That's right. Theoretically, can you do lo tasu avel without also actively perverting?
Right, it might be that kont do, where you don't, you leave a case that should be tried. That's what exactly what the Rambam claims is a problem of, right, lo tasu avel. Alright. Vamar Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish is telling us that a goy shavat is chayav mita, and Rabbi Yochanan telling us over kachamim shosek b'torah chayav mita. Like a chamim that learns Torah or is osek here? I don't know if it has to be learned. Osek is that one who toils in Torah. It's chayav mitash. Ne'amar Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha. So morasha lanu morasha v'lo lahem. It's our inheritance and not their inheritance. So now where's the restriction? I don't see any restriction yet. The restriction melechav shva gabe sheva mitzvot. So let's include this. It's one of the seven mitzvot. I mean, there's another restriction of Rebbe Ben Noach. Why is it included? Well, it says, because this is really a subcategory of other mitzvot. What is the isur of learning Torah? Well, if it's mar shalanu velo lahem, what's the problem? The problem is a problem of stealing. It's ours and not theirs. They take it, it's stealing. That's already a category in the Sheva Mitzvah Noach. We're also going to bring from the Gemara, the end of Pesachim, at the end of the third parak. There the Gemara describes, it's talking about an Am Aretz there, but there it describes about the idea of morasha. They change the word, they make a play on the word of mu'urasa. It's as if we are, right, have erusin with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we're like a nara murasa, we're like with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what the word morasha, they play on murasa. So then, if you claim that that's the reason, right, that we are meurasin to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then if someone comes and takes that Torah, that's like Boel Nara Murasa, again, which is Arayot, which is already included in the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That's what the Gemara is going to say here. The reason it's not included is because Mondomar Morasha, the one who reads it literally as Morasha, Migzal Kagazilo, you're stealing, and that's why you're Chayav. Mondomar Murasa, that it's because of the Drasha of Murasa, Dino Kinara Murasa, the Beskilo. So that's a din like a Nara Murasa that gets Skila. So they're already included in the categories of the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, because this is a subset of those categories. Now, Meitve, is that really true? Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, minayin shefilo oiv kochavim osek b'Torah shu kohen gadol. Oiv kochavim that toils in Torah is like a kohen gadol. Now, why they pick kohen gadol? As mentioned, it also mentions in other places that they can Baba Kama when the Gemara brings this is because kohen gadol is yakrahi mipninim. That it's used, the Torah is described as being more precious than the pninim, or like the precious stones or the jewels. But there the Gemara Darshans, it's more precious than the one that goes lifnai b'lifnim. So that's why the Gemara compares it to Kohen Gadol, because Torah is said to be more precious than that of the Kohen Gadol that enters lifnai b'lifnim. So that's the comparison over here. So here a goy who is osek b'Torah is more precious than the Kohen Gadol. Shneimar asher yaseh utam adam v'chay b'hem. It says that you should do the laws of the Torah, keep the Torah v'chay b'hem and live by them. Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim, lo ne'amar. It doesn't say Asher Yaseh Otam, Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. Ela, Hadam. It says Asher Yaseh Otam, Ha'adam. Adam is a generic term. Ha'lamata, Shafilo, Oveik, Chavim, Osek, V'Torai, Hu, Kohen, Gadol. So that Asher Yaseh Otam, Adam, V'Chai, Bahem, that's not just a requirement for a Klal Yisrael, that's a general requirement on Adam. That they're Osek, V'Torah, or they should keep the mitzvot, and therefore they're V'Chai, Bahem. So Hatam, Gemara is up. The solution says there it's b'sheva mitzvot didhu. That's in talking about their sheva mitzvot. But they're allowed to learn the practical halacha of what they have to do. They have sheva mitzvot. They need to know what to do about the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. So depending on how extensive you think the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach will be, how extensive their learning of Torah should be in order to know how to deal with the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach and how to adjudicate the cases of the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. Now, this reconciliation of the Gemara between Torah in general and the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach opens up some questions. One is the restriction simply on the Oveh Kochavim, who's mentioned here? Is it the Oveh Kochavim who learns Torah is a problem? What happens, is there any restriction on a Jew who teaches Torah? A Jew who teaches Torah to a Ben Noach, is there any restriction against them? So at minimum, there's probably a restriction of Lifnei Ver, Lo Titen Michshol. If they're teaching them something that they're not allowed to learn, or something that they shouldn't be learning, then at least, at minimum, there's a restriction of Lifnei Ver, Lo Titen Michshol. But there might be an additional restriction, which is beyond that. I mean, that there might be the tzivoy here of not learning Torah, or the Marsha, might not only have implications for the Goy, that he's not allowed to take it, but you as a Jew are not allowed to give it to him. That's also stealing. But you teaching it to him or giving it to him, so you might be under, there might be a restriction not only for a non-Jew, for a Ben Noach, but even for a Jew to teach Torah to the non-Jew. That's one. The other distinction that is quoted, it's quoted by the Tzitz Eliezer, but really I think it starts back with the Yamshel Shlomo, who draws a distinction between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. When it comes to Torah Shebichtav, that's something that's written down, that's something that's given over for writing and anybody could read it. There is no restriction against a Oved Kochavim learning Torah. And there's no restriction against reading the Torah Shebichtav. Where the restriction comes up is that which is unique to Klal Yisrael. What's unique to Klal Yisrael is the Torah Shebe'al Peh. And therefore the distinction or the difference over here where you can teach Torah to a Ben Noach, or where the restriction exists, might be differentiated between Torah Shebe'al Peh and Torah Shebichtav. When it comes to Torah Shebichtav, there's no problem with them learning it, no problem teaching them there. Torah Shebe'al Peh, which is our unique Mesorah, that is what belongs to Klal Yisrael, and what we don't want to get out, because we want to control that Mesorah, make sure that it's authentic and proper, that may not be taught to others, and that may not be given over to others. So there might be the restriction of teaching a Ben Noach Torah, as well as the restriction for them to learn. Maybe the distinction between Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebe'al Peh. The other issue that you have to address here is the Rabbeinu Tam in a number of places. The Tosfos brings him over here. Problem is that the pasuk over here says, "Asher yaseh otam adam v'chai bahem." So there, the Gemara says, "Adam" means not only Jews but non-Jews. Yet the Gemara darshins when it comes to tumat ohel, the tumat ohel in Parshat Parah, it says, "Zot haTorah adam ki yamut ba'al." Atem kriyim adam, and they're not. V'lehem lo kriyim adam. Jews are called adam, and not them. So over here, the Gemara is calling adam anybody. So the Rabbeinu Tam suggests the distinction between adam and ha-adam. When it says Adam, period, that's referring to Klal Yisrael, or only to Jews. It says Ha-Adam, Ha-Adam, that refers to anybody. So over here where it says Ha-Adam, that refers to anybody. They give a second answer, which is from Rav Meshulam. Rav Meshulam says that only where the terminology is used, Adam, by Puraniot, right there, Dafka Gavi Puranut Korotam Adam, Dein Roy Lichtov Sham Yisrael. And when it comes to Puranut, we don't want you to write Yisrael by the Paranut, so therefore we use the term Adam. We use the term Adam to replace the terminology of Yisrael. Since it's something negative, we don't want to mention Yisrael by a negative term, so therefore we replace it with Adam. So in that case, Adam is uniquely referring to Yisrael. Over here in the Pasuk, there's nothing negative. What's negative? I should say Adam, Adam, b'chai b'hem. So therefore, in this instance, the Torah should have used Israel, or should have used Kohanim Levim Israelim. It could have used a proper term or a defined term, that because if not, that meant something negative. The fact that the Torah then used Adam in place of using Israel where it wasn't necessary, in that case, we say that Adam can refer to a non-Jew, because otherwise, why did it write Adam? Why didn't it just write Israel? So that's the Rav Meshulam's solution to the problem. Rashi, on the other hand, over here, tries to solve the problem by saying simply that Rav Meir doesn't hold of that limud. That's the limit of Rabbi Shimon, right? In the Gemara in Yevamot, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamut Ba'al, and Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of it. The problem with that, which Tosfos raises, is that we do find Rabbi Meir in other places darshaning Adam to be referred to only Klal Yisrael, not others. So Tosfos' solutions we saw before, the two possible solutions, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam. The other solution Tosfos says is that the Girsa in our Gemara here is Rabbi Yirmiyah, not Rabbi Meir. So if you change the gears to Rabbi Yirmiyah, then you don't have a steer, and you could say that Rabbi Yirmiyah just doesn't hold Rabbi Shimon's position about Adam. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer af Adam min achai, that not only is there a restriction in Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach of Eiver min achai, there's also a restriction of Dam min achai. Tana Rabbanan, how do you know this? Ach basar ben avsho damo lo tochelu. So, Ach Basar Ben Ashot Damo Lo Tochelu Zeh Eiver Min Achai. That teaches you not to have Eiver Min Achai. V'chiyu Min Gamliel Omer Af Hadam Min Achai. Also, Adam Min Achai is learned from this pasuk. My time of the Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel. Where did he get this from? So he says, Kari Beit, the pasuk says, Ach Basar Ben Ashot Damo Lo Tochelu in the plural. So what's Lo Tochelu? That plurality of Lo Tochelu, what is it referencing in the pasuk? So that he says, oh, you read the pasuk this way. Because, say, Kari Bey, Basar bin Nafsho, Lo Tochel. First of all, Basar bin Nafsho, Eiver min Achai, meaning you're not allowed to take a limb or flesh and eat it, Lo Tochel. And also read it, Damo bin Nafsho, or really, not bin Nafsho, Damo, but Damo bin Nafsho, Lo Tochel. The Dam of the Nefesh, you also may not eat. So the Lo Tochelu is referencing back both to the Basar bin Nafsho, and Nafsho Badam, or Dam bin Nafsho. So Dam and Basar are both restricted in Lo Tochelu. Rabbanon, say, wait, so how come the Rabbanon don't do that? He's right. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel has to be right. That there's an extra word. There's basar and there's damo in the pasuk. So how, what do the Chachamim do with that? So Rabbanon, how will the mishrei shvatzim hu da'ato? That comes to permit, right, shvatzim in Eiver Min Achai. There's no restriction of Eiver Min Achai with the sheretz. As we actually saw, the Gemara quoted this on the Shabbos daf. It's here now, the Gemara is going to explain it. What does it mean? Kiyotzi b'davar ta'umer. It was a similar type of explanation. Rak chazak hofilti akol ha-dam. Right? Be careful, make sure that you don't eat the dam. Kiyadam hua nefesh. Because the dam is the life force. So here there's just some questions about the girsa, where there's some sort of limud that says Eivir Minachai and Dam Minachai, or simply the pasuk itself is enough to teach us that dam hu anefesh. The dam is the nefesh, then when it says benafsho, in our pasuk, basar benafsho damo, then the nafsho is referencing the dam. Dam hu anefesh, not the basar, the flesh is not the nefesh, but the dam is. So there are two restrictions that are found in the pasuk. So that supports that position of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So now, v'rabbanon, how l'dam hakaza? Right, this is for a dam of hakaza, meaning bloodletting blood. She neshama yotzebo, but the neshama goes out with it. Who dat? Right, because there we have different types of blood. There's dam shchita, which is clearly asur. Dam shchita, that's clearly the blood that the Torah restricts, and you're not allowed to eat the drink the blood. So I would have thought that would have been it. That's all. The only restriction would be dam shchita. Long comes this to tell you, Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam, Ki Adam Hu Anefesh, teaches you that any Dam that is Dam Anefesh is restricted. So what is Dam Anefesh? Well, Dam Shechita is certainly Dam Anefesh. And then in addition to that, the blood that comes out afterwards, that flows out of her, is also Dam Anefesh, meaning the Dam that the Nefesh goes out with. The Dam of life force, the blood of life force that was caused the person to death, blood that causes the person to die. So that also will be included in this restriction of Dam. Because that's the definition of Dam now. Dam is not just Dam Shechita, it's Dam Akaza, as long as it's Dam Akaza that the Nefesh is Yotzaba. But if you have Dam Akaza that ain't a Nefesh Yotzaba, then, or ain't a Yotzaba, there, it's not under the restriction of Dam. And the Gemara gives a siman of how do you know when that change, what that point of change is. He says, when the blood turns black, when it stops being oxygenated blood, it's now the black blood, that's the Dam She Nefesh Yotzaba, that's the Dam that the Nefesh goes out with. So that's the machlokus between Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. Now, what the Chachamim say, this comes to exclude Shratzim. Why does it come to exclude Shratzim? That's because there's a, according to Chazal, there's a fundamental difference between animals and Shratzim. Animals have two separate entities, or two separate items, one called blood, one called basar, flesh. So that's what the restriction of the Pasuk says, is that the juxtaposition of basar and dam teach you what? Ach, basar benafsho, damo. Something that has basar and damo, that lo tochelu, that you're not allowed to have eiver min achai from. So what has both blood and basar? That is a chaya, behema, those animals. A sheret does not have that distinction. A sheret, the basar and the dam are together, are one unit. And since they're one unit, therefore there is no restriction of eiver min achai because they can't be included in this pasuk. So that's what the Chachamim use the dam for, that they come teach you that dam reflects on the basar. You have to have basar and dam. But if your basar and dam are one entity, then they don't. Then there is no restriction of Eivir Min Achai, and that's what they're saying. That by Eivir Min Achai, there's no din of sheretz, or sheretz doesn't have a restriction of Eivir Min Achai. It also has implications by Shabbos. In terms of a sheretz, the fact that their basar and dam are a single unit. Right now, Gemara says, V'lamali, how come I have to write it for Ben Noach? And why do I have to repeat it again at Sinai? Meaning, if there's a restriction against whether it's Eiver Min Achai, whether it's Dam Min Achai, right? Whether it's, we're going to see in a second, other restrictions, why do I have to write it for Ben Noach in the Sheva Mitzvot? And then again repeat it for Bnei Yisrael? And as Rashi formulates it, listen to this formulation, Rashi. Just because Chai Yisrael got the Torah, does that mean they lost the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach? No, they had the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach plus. So this, if you remember on Erev Shabbos when we were discussing the Daf, there was machlokas between the Kutchus Rei Shiurim and the Minchas Chinuch, whether a Jew is Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach plus, that was Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch said that by a Summa, a blind person who's Patur Bnei Mitzvah is still Chayav in Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Versus the Kuntra Sri Shurim wants to say there are two different paths. Either you're Chayav in Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach or you're Chayav in the Torah. The two shall never meet. Over here, Rashi's formulation is clearly that a Jew, just because he got the Torah, doesn't mean he left the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Sounds very much like the Minchas Chinuch. In this instance, it sounds like the Minchas Chinuch that Yisrael is a Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach plus. So that's the case. Gemara wants to know, why do I have to repeat it? If I already have the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, tell me, don't eat every Menachai, what do I need the Torah come teach me again after the Sinai to teach me I don't eat every Menachai? Because that's because Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina. We need it for Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina. Dama Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina, Kol Mitzvah Shneem Radle V'nei Noach V'nishnei B'Sinai. Any mitzvah that was given to Bnei Noach and then repeated at Sinai, lezeh ulezeh nemra. That means it was given to Bnei Noach and also given to Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, if it was written Bnei Noach, it was written before Sinai. Velo nishnei b'Sinai, not repeated by the when the Torah is given. Yisrael nemra velo Bnei Noach. That means it was given to Yisrael and not Bnei Noach. Vano eno anu ela gidan asher. The example of this is gidan asher aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the only example of something that was given prior to Sinai that was not repeated later, that will then be uniquely chayav, or uniquely applicable to Klal Yisrael, and not to a Ben Noach. And that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machlokas, we'll see, we're not going to get to here, but the machlokas by Gidon Asher, whether the fact that it was written in Sefer Breishit, is that its placement? Is that the proper place for it? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the proper place for it, and therefore it was commanded to Bnei Noach, it was commanded to Bnei Yaakov, who were Bnei Noach at the time. And since they were Bnei Noach, and it wasn't repeated at Sinai, then it becomes uniquely associated or relevant to Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe that Gidon Asher, the mitzvah of Gidon Asher, was given at Sinai. When Moshe wrote it down, he went back and wrote it down by Sefer Breishit. When he wrote the Torah, he wrote it in Sefer Breishit, so people should know the context in which it's given. So the fact that it's written in Sefer Breishit is only in context, but not the time that it was given. It was given at Sinai. So according to Chachamim, there's nothing to talk about over here, because it was given to the Jews at Sinai. According to Rabbi Yehuda, says it was given to Bnei Yaakov, then there's something to talk about. Now Rashi also makes an interesting point here. Rashi claims that if it's only written once, before Sinai, and then not repeated Sinai, then it belongs to Klai, or relevant to Klai, not to Ben Noach. But that's only once the Torah was given. Until the Torah was given, a Ben Noach would be chayav to keep the mitzvah. Then, once the Torah is given, it would flip over to being uniquely relevant to Klal Yisrael. So in that, Rashi has to then explain here by Gidon Asher. So Rashi, according to this logic of Rashi, that means that they had to Ben Noach, all Bnei Noach had to keep Gidon Asher until the Torah was given. Very good. So there, that's what Rashi says. Rashi gets out of his problem by saying, the Pasuk specifically says, Alkein lo yichlu Bnei Yisrael at Gidon Asher. So since the Torah specifies it's Bnei Yisrael, so even though it was given before the Torah, and should have been, Bnei Noach should have been chayavin until the Torah was given, nevertheless, this case is unique, because this case says specifically Bnei Yisrael. It's specifically to Bnei Yaakov, it's Bnei Yisrael, and therefore it won't be relevant to others. So now the Gemara is going to discuss this Braisa that we just brought about it being repeated at Sinai, Bnei Noach versus Bnei Yisrael. It's going to challenge each piece of it. Amar Mar, Kol Mitzvah Shenemar Ali Bnei Noach V'Nishnei B'Sinai Lezeh Lozeh Nemra. So the fact that it's repeated tells us one command is for Bnei Noach, one command is for us. So Gemara says, Adrabo, the opposite seems more logical. Why? The fact that it is repeated at Sinai shows that it's really relevant to Bnei Yisrael. If it's relevant to Bnei Yisrael, say that the whole thing's relevant to Bnei Yisrael, not relevant to Bnei Noach at all. Gemara says, no, they can't say that. Why? Right, so by Sinai. So now, since the fact that Ovedot Kochavim is repeated at Sinai, and we know that Bnei Noach were punished or are punished for Avodat Kochavim. How do we know that Bnei Noach are punished for Avodat Kochavim? Either because of the Bnei Tana de Bnei Menashe, who learns out the restriction of Avodah Zarah from by the Mabel, which says Vatishachet, right over there, and he says in Hoshchata Ella, right, Gilu Erayot and Avodat Kochavim. So over there, we know that the Bnei Noach were punished for Avodat Kochavim. The other possibility is that in Parshat Achrimot, where it tells you not to do Avodah Zarah and not to do Arayot, in the Parsha of Achrimot, it says why shouldn't you do them? Because I'm kicking out the nations before you because they did do them. So you see again there that they were punished for doing these items. So you know that Ben Noach is punished for Avodah Zarah. So now I have an example of Avodah Zarah where Ben Noach is punished. And we know that Avodah Chachavim was repeated both at, given to them beforehand, plus repeated at Sinai. And therefore it's relevant to both. So that's the example. You can't make a claim that when it's repeated, that it's only relevant to Jews, because we have the example of Chachamim, that doesn't work. So it must be the other way around. When it's repeated, it's relevant. One, each one has its own relevant halacha. On the Bnei Noach from before Sinai, and at Sinai before the Klal Yisrael. So now the Gemara says the next line in the Braisa. Livnei Noach v'lo nishneit b'Sinai Yisrael nem rab lo livnei Noach. Adarabo, v'lo nishneit b'Sinai livnei Noach nem rab lo Yisrael. Wait a minute, they say it should be the opposite. If it's only mentioned to Bnei Noach and not repeated in Har Sinai, it should just be relevant to the Bnei Noach. Why should it be relevant to Jews at all? It makes much more sense to say the opposite, not to say what we're saying over here. So Gemara says, no. Midilosh nishtev isnei lenim noach nemer lo Yisrael. Leka mid'am del Yisrael shari olo evid kachavim asur. So this is a very important principle. Tosfos is going to jump on it. It has very, very deep implications. There's nothing that can be permitted to a Jew that is restricted to Ovei Kochavim. Jews have a higher form of Kedusha. They have Kabbalat Torah. How could it be possible that a Jew would be less restricted or have less mitzvot than that of a Ben Noach? How is that possible? The way you're suggesting is if it was not repeated at Sinai, a Ben Noach would be Chayav, and a Jew would not be Chayav in it. That doesn't make any sense. And so Gemara says that logic, and this, by the way, this has impacts on many things. The Gemara says that whenever we think that something is asur for Ben Noach, the Gemara will question, say, wait a minute, how could it be asur for Ben Noach if it's mutar for Yisrael? Or the other way around, if it's asur for Ben Noach, it must be asur for a Ben Yisrael, because you can't have it be that a Ben Noach will be restricted and a Ben Yisrael will be mutar in such an item. But look.
We saw, they didn't say a kuti, you know, kills a kuti, is chayav, right? But Yisrael kills a kuti, is mutar.
Right, but it's still restricted. It's still a sur. Okay, we don't worry. The fact that we have different onshim, that we're okay with. The fact that it's restricted, that is a problem. Now, we do have, the Gemara says below, is that not true? What about Yifat Tovar? What about Yifat Tovar? Yifat Tovar, the Jewish army is going, the Kiwis go to war, then they find the Yifat Tovar, they're allowed to take a Yifat Tovar. I mean, even Eish and Ish, they're allowed to take a Yifat Tovar. The Chusim is not true in reverse. Right, Ben Noach is not permitted in battle to take a Yifat Tovar. So there you do have it. So you have a case where for a Jew it's permissible, and for a Ben Noach it's restricted. So Gemara says, no, that's a technical problem. Hotam mishum talav bnei kibush ninhu. They're not permitted to do kibush. They're not permitted, or they don't have the title of kibush. So what is that? Where does that come from? So Rashi explains, there's only one nation that was given the right to conquer another nation after the Torah was given. Right, the only people that were given permission to come and conquer something, or instructed to conquer something, is Bnei Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael. So since they are Bnei Kibush, therefore they have the parsha of Yifat Tovar. On the other hand, any other nation or any Ben Noach that's going to war, it's not because they're permitted or they're entitled to do Kibush. The reason is because they're going to war. They make a choice to go to war. They don't have a right of Kibush. And this would help out with the, right, that the position, Rashi has this position in Chumash, that Yifat Tovar only applies to a Mechamed Mitzvah of Kibush, right, Eretz Yisrael. Mechamed Mitzvah of Kibush, Eretz Yisrael, that's the only time that Yifat Tovar applies. But otherwise it doesn't apply. So here, that's what the Gemara seems to say. It's only someone who has this right of Kibush is entitled to have this Parsha of Yifat Tovar. So technically, a Ben Noach could have had the Parsha. He could have had the Parsha, he just has to get that shame or title of Ben Kibush, but he doesn't have the title. So it's a technical problem. It's not a problem of kedusha or not kedusha. Where it says, "V'hare pachod mishav v'pruta." So, this is the other question. I thought you were going to ask this question, which was that over by the Gemara gave you two examples of where Yisrael's patur. One example was the case of shvichut damim, but there it's patur bal asur. But the case where it said mutar was the case of stealing.
Yeah.
Right, so that was the case. So I said, "Hotam mishum talav b'nei nechila ninu." So over there, there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Why, by a pruta, is it considered gezel? Less than a pruta, it's considered gezel for a kuti, but for Israel, that's not considered gezel. Again, it's a technical problem. The problem is that Jews are rachmanim, as Rashi says, rachmanim, and they are mochlin al davar shepochon mishum pruta. So there's a technically there is gneva there, but because of their mechila, they're able to wipe out the gneva. On the other hand, when it comes to a kuti, a ben noach, there is no mechila. If there's no mechila, then the gzela still exists. So it's not that there's not a gzela in both cases. There is a gzela in both cases. But the mechila changes the status of that gzela or that gneva. And that's what it is. Again, it's a technical way out. It's not a problem, again, in difference in kedusha or difference in restriction, simply a difference in the circumstances. And difference in the circumstances is what results in this difference in halacha between them. The Tosfos asks, and this is a very important Tosfos, because it has significant nafkaminot for halacha when it comes to abortion. We said before that a reviewer comes along and says that a ben noach is chayav for killing an ubar, because it says shofef dam adam ba adam. But he's restricted from killing, even inside, I mean even fetuses, he's restricted from killing. That is not true by a ben Israel. Why? As Tosfos points out over here, it's the last Tosfos, d'bedavar shu mitzvah l'Israel, lo amrinan hachi. So first of all, anything that's a mitzvah for Israel, we don't say that. So therefore, ovi kuchavim sheshavat chayav, o Israel mitzvah. So over there we don't say that's a distinction, meaning that ovi kuchavim is put to death for being shoveit. And a ben Israel doesn't have any restriction like that. No, that's because Shabbos is a mitzvah for bnei Israel. Therefore, you could say that ben Noach, who's not shoveit, is put to death. That's not a difference in their halacha.
Well, especially if the underlying principle is the increase of our sanctity.
Right. So that's exactly what
Shabbos is.
Exactly what Tosfos is saying. Though we have a positive manifestation of that difference. So theirs is a negative formulation. Ours is a positive formulation. But we have such a formulation. But then miu kasha. Right, which is the problem that comes up. Samrina beperek sorero marer yatsa rosho eno gimbo. Den dochin nefesh b'nei nefesh. So this is a halacha of rodef. Halacha rodef is that a baby that is being born. A baby that is born, once its head comes out to avir olam, it's considered to be a living entity. It's a living entity, now you have a competition between the ubar that's being born and the woman who's giving birth. Whose life do you save? So over there we say, you can't just kill the ubar to save the woman's life, because the ubar is now a living being. And a living being, we never make decisions to take someone's life in order to protect someone else's life. So over there, the woman's life is, she loses her life because the ubar is already alive. What is not true is, aval kodem sheyatza rochsho, before the fetus is born, before the head comes out, chaya pushet yadav chatchol evarim, umotziach delet zilat imo. Before the baby, the fetus is born, the midwife can go in there and basically kill the baby in order to protect the mother, because he's a rodef. Over there, he's classified as a rodef. Once he comes out of the mother's, the head's out, we don't know who's the rodef anymore. Is the rodef the aim, or is the rodef the baby? While the fetus is still inside, there's only one rodef, and that's the fetus to the mother. So over there we said you can kill the fetus in order to protect the life of the mother. So here you have a head there for, quote-unquote, abortion, or you have the right to terminate the fetus's life in order to protect the mother. Yet, when it comes to v'chi agavna b'yehovei kochavei masur, he can't do that. Kevin shehuza ru'al ubarim. They were restricted from ubarim. We know by the Ben Noach, no difference between mezid, shogeg, anything of the sort. So over here you have what seems to be something that's mutar for a Ben Israel, and yet asur for an ovei kochavim. It's not simply about onshin. It's a real difference. A Ben Israel can kill the ubar to protect the life of the woman. That would not be true of a Ben Noach. So now you have a serious difference. So Tosfos answers, V'yesh lomar, da'anami b'Yisrael mitzvah k'dei l'hatzil. So one possibility is that, like Tosfos said before by Shabbos, when it's a mitzvah, then we don't consider the negative formulation to be something different. A Jew has an obligation to save someone's life, has the obligation to protect the life of others. So over here, the life of the woman is being protected. That's the mitzvah they're doing. The Ovei Kochavim formulation is in a different way. Do not kill the fetus. There are different manifestations of the same halacha. Again, it's harder because one of them is focused on the mother and one of them is focused on the ubar. So to say that is difficult, but Tosfos wants to say that here it's the same like by Shabbos, where we have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, and they have a restriction against keeping Shabbos. That's all one mitzvah. So they're here. So we have a mitzvah to save the woman's life, and their restriction against killing the ubar, that's all one category. Again, by Shabbos, it's one entity. Over here, it's two entities, which is harder. And Tosfos gives the second answer, which is, v'efshar tafilu b'ev chachavim shari. So Tosfos says, wait a minute. Maybe by an ovei kochavim, this is also mutar. Who says to save the mother's life, it's not mutar by a ovei kochavim? The only thing you say is you can't kill a fetus, right? That is maybe when the fetus is not endangering anybody's life. That's the restriction of Ben Noach. Who says that the Ben Noach doesn't also have the same dispensation that a Jew has to kill? Now, that will have implication. The two different answers are different. Very different. According to the first answer in Tosfos, then there is no isur to terminate a fetus for a Jew. So therefore, there's an isur by Ben Noach to terminate the fetus. By a Jew, there's a mitzvah to save the woman. We have nothing said about the fetus for a Jew. Fetus for a Jew sounds like they can terminate the fetus. If it's saving the mother's life, that's a mitzvah. But if it's not, there's no restrictions. No mitzvah, but there's no restriction. The second answer clearly says that there's a difference, that it's usur for Bnei Israel, it's usur for Obi Kochavim, and dispensation applies to both. That the Kedei Lahatzil is a dispensation for a Jew, and now that's a dispensation also for a Ben Noach. If it's a dispensation, that means that it's really usur, and we have a dispensation. The first answer doesn't use that terminology. I'm saying, by the second formulation, you can see that the first one possibly means that you could terminate a fetus and there'll be no problem. The second answer says, which indicates that you're on the same level. There's an usur to terminate a fetus, and that the exception to that rule is when the mother's life's in danger. There it's not, I'm talking about a mitzvah anymore. We're not talking about a mitzvah. We're talking about that if the life of the woman's endangered where it's a fetus, then we protect the mother's life. Period. It's not. It's asur. You can't, and the Jew would be restricted in the same way. So it could be. I'm not saying that it has to be, but it could be that the two answers in Tosfos result in a different view of the restriction or the isur of terminating a fetus's life. Again, this is goes through much discussion, ends up in a very important machlokas, modern day poskim, machlokas between Igros Moshe and the Tzitz Eliezer about, for instance, certain cases. Rav Moshe believes there's no heter to terminate a fetus unless the mother's life is in danger. That's the only exception to the rule. There are no other exceptions. The Tzitz Eliezer, on the other hand, wants to or suggests other exceptions. For instance, Tay-Sachs babies, which are not going to survive, that they're known not to survive. So in that instance, he was looking at the possibility that maybe there's a heter to terminate the fetus in that case because of the problems that it will create to have the baby come to full term. And then also by cases of anusa, that Zitzel wants to talk about cases of rape, that there might be the psychological welfare of the mother. Right, so that's two levels. One is psychological welfare considered to be enough of a reason to consider it a pikuach nefesh of the mother? Right, I mean, that you could claim that it's a choli, to take it to the extent to say that it's a choli that's pikuach nefesh, right, that may not be the true. And then on top of that, to say, even in that case, right, to say that pikuach nefesh is sufficient without real life and limb, I mean, that the psychological damage that will do it cause possible loss of life, right, that's two big chidushim by the Tzitz Eliezer that you could possibly terminate in that case. So that turns out to be a machlokas, a modern day poskim, about where there are dispensations for terminating pregnancies. Alright, now, the Gemara continues to kind of dissect that brisa that we're talking about. Kol mitzvah shenemra l'bnei Noach, nishnei b'sinai, l'zeh l'zeh nemra. So anything that was repeated, that is given both to a Ben Yisrael and to the Ben Noach. So now here we're going to go through all the cases that are repeated in the Torah and don't apply to a Ben Noach. First one is, Vaharei Milah. Written Milah is given before Sinai and then repeated in Sinai. Shenemra l'bnei Noach, it's given to Ben Noach Tiftiv, Vatai Briti Tishmor. That's by Avram Avinu, when the Brit Milah is given to Avram Avinu. So it's not literally Ben Noach, it's from Avram, but from there forward it should be that there's a Chiyuv of Brit Milah. And in Sinai, this week's Parsha, Uviyom HaShmini Imol B'sar Alato. That's referred to Yisrael. So then you have it said to Yisrael. So now, how come in this case, Yisrael Nemra V'lo B'nei Noach? Over here, we're talking about...
How are we considering this? And it was only said that Abraham and his descendants.
Right, so anybody who's... And Abraham's a Ben Noach, first of all. And number two, so, okay, let's limit it
to...
Okay, so that the Gemara will come back and try to go that way. But here at least the Gemara has it. We have halacha before Sinai, halacha after Sinai. Should have application beyond or broader than Klal Yisrael itself. So, how come? So, the Gemara says, Yisrael Nemra V'lo B'nei Noach. How? The Mishrei Shabbat Hudata. No, the Yom HaShmini is not a command to tell you to do Brit Milah. Rather, it comes to teach you another law. The halacha is, B'yom V'afilu B'Shabbos. B'yom HaShmini is... B'yom HaShmini is... Imo Basar Lato, which is this week's parsha of Tazria. In that parsha, why do we have is there a chiyuv of Brit Milah written there? The Gemara says no. The Gemara says, that Pasuk Mutar is going to teach you that it's Docha Shabbos. Brit Milah is Docha Shabbos, teaching a detail of the Locha, not the Tzivui to do Brit Milah. Tzivui to do Brit Milah is back from Avram Avinu. That's where we're Tzivui doing Brit Milah. You want to know something about Brit Milah, that's what's written in this week's parsha. Therefore, it's only written once, and now we have the principle. If it's only written once, then it belongs to Klal Yisrael. Bare, next, Priria Urivia. Priria Urivia, it says, Shinemra, Lebne Noach, Dichtiv, Atem, Peru, Ruvu. Right? Umilu et Aret. So there's a command to Bnei Noach. Vinishnet b'Sinai, and it's repeated in Sinai. Well, we don't have any mitzvah Peru Ruvu after Ben Noach. We have it once found in Breshit, once found in Parshat Noach. It's not found any time after that. No, that comes from the drush in the pasuk, which says after Har Sinai, it says Leich Amor Lehem. Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Shuvo Lachem Lo Leichem. Says you go back and return to you Ohalim. Now, why does Moshe have to tell them to go back to their tents? Because they were restricted from being in their tents. What does it mean they're restricted from being in tents? It says by Har Sinai that they have to separate from Isha. They have to separate from their wives for 3 days. So Shem tells Moshe, give them the command to return to their wives. So the command to return to their wives is a command to perform Peru Revu. Return to Peru Revu. So there. And yet, it's L'Yisrael Nerv Rav Lone Nei B'nei Noach. And nevertheless, it's given to B'nei Yisrael, not to B'nei Noach. Remember from this dark drusha, that's where Moshe knows. When in Parshat Balotcha, when Miriam and Aaron speak about Moshe, and how come Moshe doesn't go back to his wife, and everybody else does go back to his wife, Moshe learned it from this pasuk. It says, Shuvu lachem, lo leichem. Right? You go back, but not vata po amodi madi. You stay with me. They all have permission to go back to their wives. You don't go back to your wife. Right? So now the Gemara says, no. That's ruhau. Again, the whole davar shemiyan tzrich minan achel atirohu da'ata. That comes to teach us a new din. A new din, which is not that pruvu. I mean, that we get from Ben Noach. It's only written once in the Torah. So it's written once in the Torah, only applies to Klal Yisrael. Ah, what about this limud of Eleichem, or Lehem, Shulachem, Lelechem? That comes to teach us a different din. What's the din? That anything that's restricted has to have a heter or a matir afterwards. That means, if a bezin restricts something, that restriction has to be terminated afterwards. You can't just have it be automatically terminated. It must be terminated by the bezin. How do I know that? Because over here, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Bnei Yisrael? Says, make sure to separate from your wives for 3 days. So as Rashi points out, it should have terminated by itself. After 3 days, it self-terminates. Why does Hashem have to come and tell them, Leich Emor Lehem, Shuvu Lachem Lo Leichem? Why does he have to go back? So because he has to tell him to go back, shows you that even though the time passed and technically should have self-terminated, it should have gone away by itself, nevertheless, you need a Beis Din Acher to come and terminate it. That's one way to learn it. Rashi says that it should have terminated by itself. The fact that it didn't terminate, and Hashem has to come and tell you to, right, to go back to Aleichem, that teaches you that even though it was restricted once, and now it should have been had there, nevertheless, you need a Beis Din Acher to come, or a Minyan Acher to come and be Matirit. Tosfos suggests an alternative. He says it. Rashi says it. I don't see it in Rashi here. But he says that Rashi, there's another possibility, which is that Al Tikshu Al Isha, that when you're not supposed to go to Isha, that's a single statement. That you should prepare for 3 days. It's not telling you don't be with your wife for 3 days. It's telling you two different facts. One is don't be with your wife. Number two is that you're going to get the Torah in 3 days. Be prepared, you're getting the Torah in 3 days. So there's one restriction is don't be with your wife. Second restriction is in 3 days you're getting the Torah. Information is that you're going to get the Torah in 3 days. Would that mean that it would not self-terminate? Because there's no time frame on it. But Tosfos says, this is how we learn it. Why? Because it says, separate from your wives. Why did you separate from your wives? Because you're standing at Har Sinai. So it should be self-evident. Or the reason for separating from your wives has now gone away. Mamad Har Sinai is done. So the reason is gone, so the gezerah, or the restriction should dissolve, right? There should be dissolution of the restriction because the reason is gone. But at the time, there's no reason to have it. So Tosfos says, you see from here, what? The fact that Hashem had to come be matir it, even though the time is gone, that means that even a Beis Din makes a takana, and the reason for the takana, or the reason for what was put in place, is gone away. Therefore, what? Then when it happens, it's not heter. Just because the reason went away does not make it mutar. You need another Beis Din to come and be matir it. So that's important implications. We have many things like that where certain restrictions or certain takana were put in place. They're put in place for specific reasons or for things that were true at the time. They're no longer true. Right? So now, when they're no longer true, why do they self-terminate? So here, if you see from our Gemara, you need a minyan achel atiro. And the way Tosfos is learning it, minyan achel atiro is even when the time is gone. Despite the fact that the time is gone, nevertheless, it's still relevant until the Beis Din comes along. Now, the Rav Rav Shechter distinguishes that we do see that there's some tamim, there's some certain gezeirot, the takanot, which we do say go away. So for instance, let's take on Shabbos. The idea of not dancing on Shabbos, not clapping on Shabbos, right? Those are restrictions, Shemei Yitake and Klei Shir. And Tosu says in the Mar, it says in Beitzah, right, that, oh, today, since we're not Bikim and Klei Shir, maybe there's no restriction of Bikido and clapping hands. Mekiat Kapayim. So wait, is that true? We just saw here that it doesn't matter if the time goes away. It doesn't, even when the time goes away, it's still relevant. You need Bezin Acher Lahatiro. So there are certain Shitot that believe that, that disagree with the Tosus and say that's still in place. But according to the Tosus, what do you do? So Rav Shechter distinguishes between Gzerot or Takanot that are put into place with the time. The time itself is a part of the Takana. If the time itself is a part of the takana, then when the time goes, the gzera is going to go, because that is inherently a part of the takana. Then, if there's a takana, it has a reason. Chazal explained the reason, but it wasn't part of the takana, the reason. Then even when the time goes away, the takana remains in place. And that's why he makes it such a distinction on which takana will remain even when the time goes, versus... Second part is, well, even though if they make a takana that is not premised on the tam, but they will explain, they have a reason for the takana, and they even explain the reason afterwards, but it's not embedded in the takana, the reason itself is not part of the takana, then even when the takana when the tam goes away, the takana remains in place. So that's how Rav Shechter makes a distinction between which will self-terminate and which will not self-terminate when the tam goes away.
Why could we not also distinguish between an instruction that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
So I thought of your question last night, and I think that it has very, very important implications, what you're saying. Not the way you're saying it, but the opposite way. That tells you something very important about Beis Din. That Beis Din is what we call Elohim in the Torah, is Beis Din has the same shape. It's Elohim and Tzabukat, but that Kel, that when they sit down to adjudicate, it's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there and they're doing the mission of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That Beis Din really is the Miyatzkim. They're the representatives of Hashem in this world in that way. And therefore, when your question, I was thinking of this question, I'm like, okay, that's Hashem, so why do you have to learn anything about a Beis Din? But I think that's the other way around. Beis Din now... Hey, is that Beis Din has that same category. So I think that is an important fact that comes out of this. Right now, Gemara says, Iachi kochad v'chad nami nemi misho milta yitne. Alright, so if you want to say that anytime something's repeated in the Torah, it's coming to tell you the new halachot. Anytime something's repeated, like Avodah Chachavim, Gilei Arayot, they're all repeated. So let's say the reason they're repeated is to teach us new halachot. So that would mean, the implications for that would mean that it's only written once. If it's written once, it's only for Jews, not for Ben Noach. There'll be no Shiva Mitzvah Ben Noach left. So this is what it means. Azhara mihadar umitnabo lomali. So if you have an azhara that's repeated, then for what reason is the azhara repeated? That's the answer here is not that it's something that aloha that's repeated, but the azhara is repeated. Based on the new formulation that of not repeating a mitzvah, so haninami lo nitne, puri, rivya, and mila are also not repeated. So why did the Brisa only bring down the case of gidin asheh as something that's not repeated? Mila and puri, rivya are also not repeated. According to your new formulation, they're also not repeated. No. Hani idne, they are repeated. The shumilta ba'almahu, right? That they are repeated and they give you new alachos. Ha lo idne klal. Gidin asheh is the only case where it's not repeated whatsoever. It's only mentioned before Sinai and not mentioned after Sinai. So that's why it was written as the exception. So now, Ibai Zema, now going back to Mila, this is what Cho was asking a little bit before. Ibai Dima, Mi Koro Lavram, Hu, the Kamazar Le Rachmana. Like you were suggesting, wait a minute, Mila is not given to Bnei Noach. That was given to Avram Avinu. That's why it's not considered repetition. And to Bnei Israel. So that's why it's only Alibi to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it says that Bnei Yaakov were Bnei Noach, and was given to them as Bnei Noach. So you're right, it only applied to Bnei Yaakov, but applied to Bnei Yaakov as Bnei Noach. Right, so no, but Atav priti dishmor, Atav is Zaracha acharecha ledorotam. Atav is Zaracha in Shechmin alone. Sounds like you and your descendants are chayav and brimila, but not anybody else. So, Miata Bnei Yisrael lechayvo. Well, if that's the case, then, well, let's say if it only belongs to Avraham Avinu, why is it unique to Klai Yisrael? Should it belong to Bnei Shemal as also? So it says, well, they do it. That doesn't mean that there's a chiyuv to do it. Here, ki b'yitzchak ikari lecha zara. No, so when you want to know what the zaracha is, ki b'yitzchak ikari lecha zara. Only Yitzchak will be considered the zera that is, you know, included in the bracha, is also included in the, right, b'rit milah. Bnei Esav lechaibo. What about Bnei Esav? says Bi Yitzchak V'lo Yikol Yitzchak, the bet Bi Yitzchak, only a portion of Yitzchak will be included, not all Yitzchak. That means Yaakov and not Esav. So Matkiv La Rav Hoshea Lemiata B'nei Ketura Lo L'chaivu. Wait, so if you're now eliminating everybody else and saying that the mitzvah of Milah belongs to Abraham and all his children, not all of his children, but Yitzchak. Not all of Yitzchak's children, only Yaakov. What about B'nai Keturah? Abraham's other six children that are born at the end of his life to Keturah, are they Chayav and Brit Milah? So from this you would say no. V'ama Rabbi Yossi Ber Avin V'item Rabbi Yossi Ber Chanina et B'ti Efar. They're both B'nai Keturah. That you have to do the Brit. If you don't do it, you are violating my covenant. That includes B'nai Keturah, that they have to get Brit Milah. So now, Rashi claims over here, Otam Shishal of Adam below the Zaram. Only those six children that were born, but not their descendants after them. On the other hand, Avram Avinu was to all the generations afterwards. So based on that, it would be, right, the Rabot in the end, B'nai Keturah is the answer here. The answer is that, by B'nai Keturah, you're right. By B'nai Keturah, they are Chayav, but their Chiyuv is limited to they themselves and not their descendants after them. I mean, that's the distinction we're going to draw over here. That even though they are Chayav in Brit Milah, they, their children, their descendants are not Chayav in Brit Milah. That's the way Rashi learns it. That's not, not all Rishonim agree with that, but that maybe Rabot B'nai Keturah means B'nai Keturah and their descendants after them, that they would also require Brit Milah. That it's not unique to those six individuals, but also to the generations after them, which is, the Rambam writes,
not the pasuk that we quote, which is Kibi Yitzchak Kikar Lechazara, but rather he says V'tein Lechad Birkat Avraham Lechal Zaracha. You get the same phrase. Zaro Shel Avraham Makzik B'Datov B'Dako Yishara V'Heim Amchuyuvim Milah. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Perak Yud Halacha Zayin. Then Halacha Lechet Amru Chachamim Shepnei Keturah Shem Zaro Shel Avraham Shebar Chari Yishmael V'Yitzchak Chayavim B'Milah. V'ho V'Nitarvu Ayom B'nei Yishmael B'Bnei Keturah Yitchayvu Akol B'Milah B'Shmini V'Ein Nehargim Aleha. The Rambam says no, that B'nai Keturah is not limited to B'nai Keturah themselves, it's all of their generations after them. The problem is that B'nai Keturah got mixed up with the B'nai Ishmael, and we don't know who's the B'nai Keturah and who's B'nai Ishmael. So therefore all of them get Brit Milah in order to solve the problem so that everybody gets Brit Milah, so at least the B'nai Keturah will get it. According to the Rambam, the way the Gemara reads here, Rashi reads the Gemara as a solution. That the answer over here is that the Rabot B'nai Keturah is only to include them, but not their children after them. So that's the answer. The answer is that L'zaracha Recha is unique to Avraham. The Rambam says, no, B'nai Keturah, this is a question, the Gemara leaves it as a question. The question is, B'nai Keturah are Chayavim in Milah? And the answer is, Eino Chanami. B'nai Keturah are Chayavim in Milah. They're the one exception, because they came after Yishmael is born, and they're not subject to the restriction, whatever Hashem says, Kibi Yitzchak, Kikar Lechazara, because they're born after that point in time. And therefore, they're Chayavim in Milah, according to the Rambam. Alright, but I just wanted to show you the difference between Rashi and the Rambam, that one who says that it's only the B'nai Keturah themselves, whereas the Rambam believes it's their generations after them as well, which means that the Gemara reads differently. And according to one of them, it's a question. The Gemara is left as a question. The Rambam is according to Rashi, it's an answer. And that's the end of the Gemara here. Alright. Alright, Vidam Rav, Adam Arishon, Utalo Basar Lachila. The Mishon was not allowed to eat meat. That says all the vegetation in the world will be for you to eat and for the animals to eat. But the animals themselves are not for you to eat. When they were matir them, she never kierek esav natag lechem et kol. So I gave to you everything. Now is like kierek esav. And the previous pasuk by the Ben Noach is right. Kol remesh esav chay lechem yelo achlo. In the previous pasuk also is Geinu Mora Achem Itchem Ayyak Chogiyat Aretz Chol Ofu Shamayim Maikol Shetim Moshe Adamak Chol Dgei Ayam. So all the animals are mentioned in the previous pasuk, and then it says Kiyarek Esav Natati Lachem Et Hakol. All of this is like Esav. What does it mean like Esav? Like vegetation that was permitted to you before, and now these animals are present. Yochal Lo Yehei Ever Menachai Lo Eg. Well, you would think now, well, now that meat is mutar, you can kill to eat meat. Now Ever Menachai is also mutar. So then it comes on the pasuk and says no. And Talmud Omer, Ach, Besar B'Nafsho, Damo, Lo Tuchelu. That's the next puzzle. Yochol Av Shratzim. So this is the limit that we have for Shratzim. Talmud Omer, Ach, Shratzim are not included in Ever Minachai. Umay Talmuda. How do you know that they're not included in Ever Minachai? Amar Rabuna, Damo. It's talking, the puzzle says Damo. Misha Damo, Chaluk, Mi Besaro. Somebody who has Dam independent of Basar. Yatsu Shratzim, Shein Damam, Chalukam, Mi Besaram. But there's no difference between, right, there, when there's no difference between Dam and Basar, there's no restriction of Ever Minachai. When the Dam and the Basar are independent entities, then there's a problem with Ever Minachai. That's true of animals, not true of Shratzim. Now, versus Meitavet. Is it really true, right, that Adam Rishon was not permitted to eat the animals? It says, Urdu b'tgatayam, that you can rule over the tgatayam. What does it mean that you rule over the tgatayam? My love, achilah. Must mean that what? You can eat the tgatayam. What else would you rule over the tgatayam for? No, little malacha. Says, no, to do work with the tgatayam. The one says, b'dagim b'nei menacha, and when was the last time you saw any fish doing work for you? So it says in kederachava. It's like the question of rachava. The by rachava, hini yigbi iza ubishivuta mai. Person has a wagon, and you're not allowed to. We know medine kilaim, not allowed to tether up or to saddle two animals together, to or of different minim, of different species, to pull a wagon. That's a violation of kilaim. So now he wants to know if I tie a rope around an aze, around a goat, and I have a fish that is in the water, and I tie something around him, and he's pulling my wagon. Is that a violation of kilayim or not a violation of kilayim? So you see here that they had a fish pulling him along in the wagon. I would suggest it's more of a theoretical question, but here the Gemara says that the dog can do work. Tashma, it says, Ofa Shamayim, that you also will rule over Ofa Shamayim. So again, what does it mean that man rules over Ofa Shamayim? My love, la achila, must be that he can eat it. No, it's use of work. Since when do birds do work? In, Kedibai Roba Rabba, Barbara Ravuna, Dash bi Ibzin Vitarna Golim. This is two types of birds, to do Disha, bi Ibzin and Tarna Golim. Now, the question here, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Mai. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the halacha? Now, the halacha, we learned this together when we did Baba Metziah. There's a requirement that you do not muzzle an animal when they're doing work in the field, when they're doing the Gemara Malacha, because they're allowed to eat from it. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that's only true. They have functioning arms, functioning legs. You have to have all four of them in order to be chayav and not being muzzled. So now, what about birds? Birds have two legs, but they have no arms. So now, are they restricted in being muzzled? So that's what it might. What's the din over there? Is it because they're doing b'chol kocho? They only have two legs, and they're using whatever they have to do the work, therefore it's your chayav not to muzzle them? Or because they don't have arms, and they can only do work with their legs, there's no restriction against muzzling them. As opposed to, again, animals or humans, where they can use all of their limbs, both their legs and their arms, to do work. If they're doing that, then they can take from it, they can't be muzzled. If they're not, then they can be muzzled. So again, that's the question. But you see here that they're used for work. Ibzin atarlema used to be dash, or to thresh in the grain. Tashma, uvuchol chayaro meset alaretz. Again, the chayaro meset alaretz sounds like you can do work, you can use them, you can do whatever you want with them. So it sounds like you can eat them. Somewhere it says, no, haole atuye nachash hudata. That's come to teach you that the nachash, to include the nachash as a worker. Nachash is a chaya, you can use work for. Why? The Tanya of a price of Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Chaval al Shamash Gadol Shavad min Olam. Woe was to us that we lost this great, servant, or person that would have helped us, that would have taken care of us. Why? Shimalei nitzkalel nachash, had the nachash not sinned, kol echad meisol ayum, mizdamnin lo shnei nachashim tovim. Each one of every of Klaiso would have two nice snakes that took care of him. Acha mishagro le tzafon, v'acha mishagro le darom. One of them goes out to the north, one goes out to the south. Avilo, sand le bonim tovim, v'amanim tovot, and precious jewels and stones, umargiliot and pearls. Never there, below old, Elosh Mafshilim Ritzuah Takat Znavo. You put a string under its tail, Umotziba Afar the Ginato, and it'll give fertilizer for his gardens, or the Chuvato, and the dirt for his, those areas that are, you know, destroyed. I mean, that he'll be, this snake will do lots of good things for him, do lots of work for him, but he sinned, and therefore it's not around anymore. So that's what it means, that the Chayot, you'll be Redubit Chayot. And the Chayot HaRameset Alaretz says, referring to Nachash, he would have been serving Adam HaRishon, he would have been taking Adam HaRishon, except that he sinned, and therefore no longer that way. Meitvei, Hayu Rabbi Yehuda ben Tevi Omer, Adam HaRishon Misav B'Gan Eidim Hayav, Hayu Malachei Asheret Solim Lo Basar Misanin Lo Yayin. He was having a barbecue, right? He was in Gan Eidim, and the Malachim were skewering, roasting meat for him, and filtering wine. They were giving him, you know, the best of delicacies, but that means that he was eating meat. He sits bo nachash, v'rabbi chodod nechash, peeked in and saw what was going on, and it's kind of bo, and he was jealous, and therefore he went ahead and tried to get Adam into trouble. So the Gemara says, but basar yored min hashamayim. Talking about meat that came from heaven. Mi'ika basar yored min hashamayim. Is there really such thing as meat that comes from heaven? In, yes. Why? Kihad, Rab Shimon ben Chalafto. Abkazo be'orcha, he was on the way. Pagubo hanachar yivuta, da'avaka nehame la'ape. Bumped into two lions, or a bunch of lions, that were roaring at him. They were hungry, and he was dinner. So, Amar, Akfirim, Shuagim la'taref, says that the Kfirim, they go ahead, they cry, they roar to get their food. Meaning that they should go out, run out and get their food. Nachitule, tarte, yatamta. They came down from heaven, two pieces of meat. Chada achlua, they ate one, v'chada shavku, and they left one for him. So then, I too, about to the Beit Midrash, he picked it up and brought it to the Beit Midrash. Bayelo, davar tamehu zeo, davar tor, can I eat this? Is this kosher meat or not kosher meat? It came down from heaven, is it kosher meat? Shemlei, in davar tamehu, yureid min ha-shamayim. Nothing tamei comes from Shemayim. From Shemayim, only Tahor things will come, therefore you could eat it. You know, bayi minei Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera said to him, Rabbi Bo, ask Rabbi Bo, yardolo dmut chamor mau. What happens if a piece of meat comes down, but it looks like a chamor, an animal comes down from Shemayim, it's a chamor. So now, what's the din there? So Amalei, yarod nalo. He says, I call it, you silly snake. Or really, I just say like the expression that you silly bird. And that the Yarod is like some sort of serpent. And Nalo is the name of a bird that's a Shoteh. The name of the bird is a Shoteh. So it's a you silly serpent, you silly bird. Amrilei, we already said, Ein davar tamei yored min ha-shamayim. Nothing tamei comes down from Shamayim. So either your question is irrelevant, because nothing tamei will come down from Shamayim, so Chamor is not going to come down from Shamayim. Or even if it does, it's Tahor, because anything that comes from Shamayim is Tahor, is kosher to eat. Okay, we'll stop over here.